Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, this is we talked just briefly earlier today about Luigi Mangione. I guess there was a court hearing again today. He was back in court. An officer who escorted Luigi Mangione to an arraignment hearing after his December arrest last year revealed in court today what the accused murderer said while walking past spectators and reporters on his way out of a Pennsylvania courthouse. Luigi Mangione allegedly said, according to police officer Stephen Fox, quote, "All of these people are here for a mass murderer? Wild." Wow.
Yeah. Because if the judge rules that the contents of that backpack and the search the day he was arrested at the McDonald's, if the judge rules all of those items inadmissible, there is a path, I don't think for acquittal, Scott, but there is a path for a lesser conviction on a lesser charge, right? Mm-hmm. For a public murder execution style in broad daylight in one of the busiest cities in the world.
Well, you may remember, I have
and
told you.
And you called it.
I have told you for
you
a long time.
You called this.
I think he will be... I don't know if he'll be acquitted, but I don't think he'll be found guilty of first-degree murder.
Well, without the backpack, they don't have any evidence whatsoever. What some cop claims he thinks he heard Mangione mumble is not hard evidence in any way, shape, or form.
The one piece of evidence you could admit would be the video cameras taken from the street. But it's dark. It's early in the morning.
You have no idea who that masked person is.
You're right.
You're going to convict him on some eyebrows? Again, not defending Luigi Mangione.
I'm
but
not
this
either.
Case has been botched from the very beginning.
I don't want to say it's been botched, but they probably should have gotten a warrant for the bag. But the cop thought there was a bomb in the bag. I go with the cop there who said, oh, let's at least open it and make sure there's not a bomb in here.
Judge, did you evacuate the McDonald's? Police officer, no.
That's where they're going to get him. Did you evacuate? You were so worried there was a bomb in the bag. Did you evacuate? And they did not.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It doesn't mean he didn't do it. It just means they can't.
Prove he did.
A lot of the evidence mm-hmm. may not be allowed in.
That is correct.
Unbelievable.
Philip Rivers is adding one more chapter to his NFL story. The longtime star quarterback who retired in 2020.
Been coaching a high school team in Alabama for the last 5 years.
Is rejoining the Indianapolis Colts on their practice squad amid an injury crisis that has left the team with three sideline quarterbacks. Rivers worked out for the Colts on Monday evening. The news comes one day after his 44th birthday, instantly making him the oldest active player in the NFL. Wow.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen what Rivers' immediate role will be. Okay. On Monday, Coach Shane Steichen left the door open when asked whether Leonard would play on Sunday. He said, that's the hope. We'll see how it goes. But Leonard has a strained knee ligament and is considered week to week. Aren't we all? All right. To the bookmans. Take a deep breath.
Yep.
Okay. Gardner Edgerton's Board of Education voted last night to remove the book Jesus Land by Julia Shears, the second time in roughly a year that the school board has removed a book from library shelves. Mm-hmm. The board voted 5-2 to remove the book from the library at Gardner Edgerton High School, with board members Katie Williams and Heath Freeman casting the no votes. This vote comes a year after the board voted to remove Lillian Duncan, yep, a young adult novel that features a transgender protagonist.
This book is a true story, by the way, written by a white woman who, in her early childhood years, her parents adopted an African-American brother, a child at the time, right? Mm-hmm. They were essentially the same age based on the photo on the front cover of the book. She talks about, from the perspective of a white woman, what that must have been like and the racism that she witnessed.
In rural Indiana in the 1980s.
In rural Indiana, through a set of eyes that otherwise would probably not even understand racism. This is the book that's been banned.
All right, quoting here from one of the school board members, I believe, Redden. I don't know, see that person referenced higher. Oh, sorry, board president Tom Redden. Quote, when I read this book, Jesus Land, it was sexual obscenity from front to back. And she, the author, never got the closest thing to help was her family sent her to an abusive boarding school. There was no counseling, no help. Her only outcome was she turned 18 and went to college.
It sounds like the people that voted we're going to ban this want some silver lining and a bow at the end of this story.
Did you say earlier in the show that only one person,
yes, Scott,
complained? Who is that? Do we know?
No, that person is anonymous and made a complaint, one person, to the board. The board then did not take up the case like a year ago, so she re-upped the complaint this year. And then they looked at it and decided to ban the book for some sexual references or language something.
The board president says it's sexual obscenity from start to finish.
Okay. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. I haven't read the book. I never even heard of the
that
book.
That could
today.
Be the F-bomb, Scott.
Well, he said sexual obscenity. That's his quote. When I read this book, it was sexual obscenity from front to back.
So
that's from the board president, Tom Redden.
I don't want to litigate what person A deems obscenity to person B. That's going to be different for every single person listening, right? You know it when you see it, right?
Right, of course.
My fury over this story is that a government agency has just flat out agreed to ban this book because one parent complained. If you have such a problem with one book in your district's school libraries, you need to homeschool your child.
Well, and I'm going to use an old but tried argument. Are we going to pull The Adventures of Huck Finn out of public schools?
There's a whole lot of obscenity in that. The most despicable word in the English language, I would say.
I believe it's used 136 times, if I'm not mistaken.
This made me so mad. And look, I'm anti-book ban. Anytime the government says, we don't want you to read this book, that's the first book we should all be reading. The very first book. I made a joke a few years ago that I'm going to have a free little library, like little free little libraries, mm-hmm, full of only banned books. Come and read it, one and all.
Well, Ali, I think his first name is Ali, Ali Velshi on the weekends on MSNBC, he does a banned book segment at the end of every show, where he highlights a book that's been banned in, you know, name your public library in the United States, and then brings the author on.
The Gardner Edgerton School Board's current book review policy says all materials related to a book under review shall be sent to a special committee composed of two subject area specialists, okay, two community members, and one student. I love this. Let's let five people, I love it, two people who understand the subject matter. So, like, if you're trying to ban a book about engineering, we're going to go get two people that work at Black & Veatch, right?
Okay.
If you're trying to ban a book about race relations and growing up with an African-American brother, we're going to find two community members who specialize in that content, okay? Plus one student. In this case, they say none of that was done.
Who's they? Does it specify?
No such committee, this is directly from the story, appears to have been formed for the review of the book Jesus Land, which I'm going to keep mentioning because I want you to all go buy it tonight and read it. Jesus Land is the name of the book. At the same meeting, the same unnamed person who requested Jesus Land be removed the first time asked the board to review the book again this fall. In November, the board voted to review the book, setting up Monday's vote where they, and by the way, the high school librarian has completely objected to its removal. Why make the complaint anonymous? If one parent...
So two radio yahoos don't make fun of
you? No, that's exactly where I'm going with this, Scott. If one parent is so outraged by this, and when they ask the librarian, how many parents in your school have come forward to complain about this book? You know what her answer was?
Zero.
Yeah. Not a single parent. So we're letting one parent dictate policy for an entire school district. If you are going to do that, which is ridiculous, you name the parent.
913-586.
She's got a name, and it's crazy.
7798 913-586 7798 here on Dana and Parks. So in the
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Gardner-Edgerton School District, there was a complaint filed regarding a book called Jesus Land by Julia Shears. And the Gardner-Edgerton Board of Education voted last night on a vote of 5-2 to remove that book from the high school library. Apparently, it's a book about a white woman, she was a girl at the time, whose parents adopted a black son and lived in rural Indiana. And she outlines the racism that her brother, their family faced because of that.
Are you not just stunned at the subject matter that they've chosen to ban because one person complained? Because usually when one parent starts squawking about banning a book in a library that, by the way, can be read online or through Amazon or through the public library or anywhere else.
I'm reading it for free right now.
Right? It's usually when the protagonist is gay, sexually curious or confused about their identity, or the protagonist, one of the books they banned in Gardner Edgerton, the protagonist was transgender. It's usually that crowd that is like, oh my God, we can't have our kids reading that. This is about a white woman who grew up with a black brother. We should all read this book.
The board president, Tom Redden, is quoted in this story saying, when I read this book, Jesus Land, it's in parentheses, when I read this book, it was sexual obscenity from front to back. Now, Sam, you have, over the last 20 minutes, sort of browsed your way through an online version of this book.
I have read probably 30 pages already.
What have you found?
Other than a few bad words here and there, I haven't seen anything sexual.
They say sexual obscenities.
From front to back.
Which means, to me, bad language. Oh, we can't have that.
The S word is in the very first paragraph.
Okay,
but do you know how ridiculous it is that we would ban bad words in a book in a school library so that no one in that library system can read it because one person complained?
The overarching theme does seem to be that if you're from the country and you like Jesus, you're racist, which might be what they're mad about.
I absolutely guarantee you that was their experience,
but
Sam.
That's the message that I've gotten so far.
Let's go to line one, Long Island, Karen, 913-586-7798. Hello, Karen.
Hey, friends. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, I do have a little free library on my front lawn.
Yes, you do.
It's part of Alyssa's wishes. And it's been extraordinarily joyful and successful. We've moved like 50,000 books out through the garage in almost 6 years now.
Wow.
And I dedicate a whole shelf to banned books every day.
Yes.
And you know, my favorite library line is that every good library should every day inspire and maybe annoy. I could use a different word, but I won't because we're on the radio and I try to be good. Every person every day. Like, you should have a wide range. I do put out my perhaps the president's book with a Stephen Colbert on the same day. Maybe I do put out all my Bibles with, you know, my transgender support books and my graphic novels. I mean, that's how it should be. I mean, it shouldn't be one person deciding. And this is a high school. This is not even, when you started talking, I was waiting to hear like middle school, elementary. These are almost grown people.
Maybe you need five copies of Jesus Land to put out, Long Island, Karen.
I'm going to go add it to my Amazon wish list.
Yes.
During Banned Book Week, my patrons, because, you know, we have friends around the world here now, definitely my New York friends, they'll send them so that we stay stocked. And it is so incredibly, I want to use crazy just for lack of a better word, that, you know, like the Bible will appear on somebody's list. It literally does take one person to make a lot of noise in that kind of setting. It's just, it's mind-boggling and kind of infuriating. Because if you don't want your child to read it, that's totally your house's prerogative, and don't read it. It's very, very simple.
Well, and to go back to my original point, I mean, with the Adventures of Huck Finn, for example, I remember.
Oh my gosh! Yep.
I had to read that in eighth grade, mm-hmm. and it was the first time I had ever seen that word in print.
Right.
I'm a 54-year-old man right now. It didn't influence me or encourage me in any way to run around and say that word.
What's interesting,
I never would.
About one of the points you made there, Karen, if you think about it, all right? Mm-hmm. The fact that this one person complained about Jesus Land, and now we want Jesus Land removed, has done more to get more people and kids to read Jesus Land than anyone would have bothered to even know about. This wasn't part of the curriculum. It was just quietly sitting there on a library shelf, and now everyone's talking about Jesus Land.
Well, and I mean, it's amazing to me, because over the years, I've had to learn, or I have learned, you know, through osmosis and doing what I do, what is on the list, and it's always mind-boggling to me. Charlotte's Web is on the list.
Right.
Huck Everlasting, Bridge to Terabithia, A Wrinkle in Time, Slaughterhouse-Five. Like, that one you say, okay, you know. when the dog bites, lovely bones. Again, you can go, all right, that's rough, you know.
Yeah.
But again, if you didn't want your house to read it or your person to read it, then don't read it. It's free will.
And again, we're talking high school. That quote, right. Child is going to be out of your house in 2 years, three. I mean, I just, what makes me crazy is it's one person. And if it was 20 people, I would still be ticked off.
By the way, I had to look it up, Long Island, Karen. Thank you. Charlotte's Web has been challenged and banned in some U.S. schools, notably in the state of Kansas in 2006, primarily due to religious objections that talking animals are blasphemous.
My God. I don't want crazy people determining what any of us read or don't read, Scott.
I agree. You won't get a disagreement from me on that.
From the text line, Sam, my deep conspiracy is that the person who challenged the book is the author, increasing sales.
Boom.
Texter, I like you. I like
you,
Texter.
She wanted to get her Kansas City numbers up.
Keep it going.
The book just wasn't taken off in Kansas City.
Can you imagine if one parent said to a school district, I am sick and tired of you guys serving chocolate milk in the lunchroom and I won't have it. And I want you to change an entire district's policy because Marge does not like chocolate milk. She's vegan, actually.
I stand behind that.
She doesn't like any milk, right? Name another thing that one parent could complain and an entire district changes its policy against everyone.
Clothing, maybe.
One?
I don't know. I've never been to a school board meeting as a parent in my life. I've been there as a reporter, but not as a parent.
You're missing out.
Am I? Not. I covered them as reporters. I'd rather watch paint dry some nights. 913-586-7798. David, hang tight. We'll get with you in just a moment. Hey, don't forget to help us out if you can with our Coats for Kids 2025 campaign. We have 10 days left, and there are children in this city that are at a bus stop in the morning without a coat. You can help that, and you can help stop that. Go to our website, kmbz.com. Click on the Coats for Kids icon, and you can make a donation there. It is a safe and secure website. $25 buys a new coat for a child here in Kansas City. Or text the word, and it's one word, KMBZ Coats, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. Thanks to Pinnacle Bank and Operation Warm, our terrific partners with Coats for Kids. David, in Kansas City, really, really do appreciate your patience. Welcome.
Hey, David.
Hey, no problem. I got to be quick because I'm just getting home. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. I have 5 kids between 11 and 22.
Sure.
And I'm actually pretty open with what they read and what they watch because I know they're going to see worse online when they get home, probably. Mm-hmm. But it is high school. It's not college. They've been censoring them since I was in high school to a point, right?
Yeah.
And if we won't take one complaint seriously and actually look into it, then there will be a whole other group saying, well, then why do we complain? You know, I mean, vote them out, get them out of the school board. But it also doesn't sound like she's been completely unreasonable. It sounded like she asked last year and it didn't happen and waited a whole year. It's not like, doesn't sound like she's been beating doors down to get it taken out. But then the last thing I was going to say is if there is bad language throughout the thing, they censor that in high school. They won't let you say it. Why would they have a book in their library where you can read it?
I understand your point. That being said, David, if you can't have bad words in a school library because you can't say bad words in a school, there aren't going to be very many choices for you in high school to read, and that would include The Outsiders. Think of any book we were all, I don't want to say forced to read. I enjoyed The Outsiders. Most people did. Think of all of the school library books that they would have to take off the shelves for language because you – and I understand your point.
And by the way, breaking news to both David and Dana, the kids do say those words school even though they're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Just want to make sure everybody was aware
of it. If 50 parents came forward and said, we're not comfortable with this book on library shelves, mm-hmm. I would still be mad. It's not up to – it's just not up to them. You can say we don't want this as part of the curriculum – or give my student the opportunity to read a different book. But you can't, as one person or even 50, decide what is available for an entire district because you don't like it.
But here's why I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit. It does concern me a bit. I understand where you're going with, you know, if one parent doesn't want their kid to have to read and then maybe write a report about Jesus Land, or what was the other book that was mentioned? America, or I can't remember the name.
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web, or The Adventures of Huck Finn, or
you're
whatever.
If you're reading Charlotte's Web in high school to do a book report, we have bigger concerns.
If you're trying ban it, we have bigger concerns.
But, you know, at what point do we tell parents, we really appreciate the input, but you don't get to dictate the curriculum? What about American history? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are many controversial things in American history.
Yeah.
Some people, I'm not going to get in too much into the weeds, but the American Civil War.
Okay.
There are some people that would argue that the South was right to secede from the Union, states' rights, this and that. There's nothing wrong with the Confederate battle flag, all this stuff.
Others would argue they were traitors.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't teach any of the controversy about American history in high school. I didn't learn about any of that until I'd
God, I would researching hope, I would on my hope own. We don't, do.
We
do
don't
we not teach
about
any
slavery?
Of it?
No. We don't teach about the controversial takes on American history.
We just dates and times. And
yeah.
This is,
and America's rah-rah. America is amazing. That is history class, unless you take the AP version where they actually dig into things and they talk about the why things happened.
And they don't teach in high school, and it's been so long since I've been there, I don't remember, that the founding fathers designated black people as 3/5 of a human being.
That's not what I'm saying.
He's saying they don't get into the weeds of was it right? I would like to believe they at least get into the sides and the arguments with respect
that one was right and one was wrong?
With respect to all of the wars, and certainly with respect to slavery, my God.
I mean, they don't get into let me ask you this then, Sam, because your recollection of high school is much fresher than mine. Do they not get into that one side was right, one side was wrong?
In what context?
That the South was wrong?
Oh, yeah. Again, I was talking overarching. I'm not specifically talking about the Civil War. Like, for example, there were a number of things over the course of history that we did as an army that probably weren't the best.
Mm-hmm.
You don't touch those.
Okay.
What we did was amazing.
Okay.
We are amazing.
And by the way,
and I, you know, I'm not saying that's wrong, but we just don't cover it in high school. There really, quite frankly, isn't enough time.
Now, this is purely anecdotal on my part and a little bit of a squirrel. I don't know what it's like at every other school, but the next time somebody tells me that they don't do the Pledge of Allegiance in public schools, you are incorrect. Not only do they do it at the elementary school that is right behind me every single day. How do you know, Scott? Are you in the classroom? No. They have speakers on the outside and inside of the school. I think in the inside of the school. I know they do on the outside because I hear the Pledge
hear
of
the
Allegiance
pledge.
Every single day.
That must have come back because it went away when I was in school.
So think about it this way. If you are okay with banning the book because one parent complained. Mm. I am a parent, and I don't believe that we should be saying the pledge in school. My name is Evelyn, and I don't think I don't like the words
under God.
Under God, and I'm an atheist, and I demand the entire district stop saying the pledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school board goes, okay. People would
be a riot.
There would be a riot.
Yeah.
But
we cannot allow one person to dictate what is good for an entire school district.
Somebody says on the text line, no, Scott, they don't. Well, they do at the elementary school right behind me. I hear it every single day.
We didn't do it when I was in high school. Okay. We stopped doing it in my Catholic school. I think I was 6th grade or 7th grade because it became so controversial. And that was in a Catholic school. And the controversy around the pledge has to do with God.
At a Catholic school?
Yeah.
Okay. Will somebody please stop the planet? I need to get off.
It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Now this story. We haven't gotten into enough controversy this hour. Neighborhood opposition is building to a possible new Royal Stadium in Overland Park. This is from Fox 4. A Royals-affiliated company bought the troubled mortgage of the old Sprint campus, now known as Asperia. On Monday night, a group of concerned neighborhoods sponsored a forum to discuss ways to fight any stadium proposal at West 119th Street in Nall. Every seat at the meeting was filled. Neighbors, along with representatives from various HOAs in the area, were in attendance. They discussed traffic, safety concerns. One thing repeatedly brought up was what neighbors called a lack of transparency. Quoting here from Marsha Friedman, who lives near 119th and all, "We're hearing nothing. We're hearing nothing from Overland Park as to what they're doing. We're hearing nothing from the Royals, nothing from Johnson County. People are concerned." Mark Kelly, who is the president of the Homeowners Association at Hawthorne Place, shared similar concerns. He started a petition against the possibility of a stadium at the Asperia campus after the Royals sent out a survey with the top three potential ballpark sites, including Overland Park, downtown Kansas City, and North Kansas City. Quoting here from Mr. Kelly, "When they sent the survey out, there were two locations in Missouri and only one left in Kansas. I thought we had thought that maybe Olathe or the Legends seemed like good sites if the Royals wanted to come to Kansas. But we were shocked to find that we were kind of the only option in Kansas that they seemed to be looking at." So the opposition has started. I've always thought that's the least desirable of the three.
I would agree from a traffic flow standpoint. A lot would have to be moved, reimagined. Traffic in and out would have to be routed one way.
Well, but that came up last night.
In and out. And then how do you get home if you live south of 119th Street?
You're going to have to take either
Metcalf, State Line,
Row.
Say you live at 103rd and Dahl, and you have a medical emergency at about 10 p.m. on a game night. That ambulance picks you up and is trying to drive down Dahl to get to the hospital that would be across from the brand new stadium.
It's a huge problem for Menorah.
Oh, sorry, the patient died because they had to go to Row.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
To get to the hospital.
I understand what you're saying. Anyone in the immediate vicinity, probably not 103rd, but anyone who would need to go to Menorah, any woman in labor.
But you could make the same argument about downtown Kansas City if they were going to put it at Washington Square Park.
There are way more arteries in and out downtown than there are right there at 119th and all.
What if you live in one of the lofts
right
next to Washington Square Park and the game just got out? It's opening day, 45,000 people pouring out into the streets of downtown Kansas City.
Okay, but what do they do at Wrigley Field, which is the same thing?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. What about Busch Stadium in St. Louis?
Absolutely.
Right downtown, you know? I don't know the answer. I do know this. I still think that either the Truman Sports Complex, if the Chiefs ended up going out to the Legends, and then you could tear down Arrowhead and rebuild the new Kauffman Stadium there, or the Royals go out to the Legends, where nobody really lives. It's easy in and out. You've got two major highways right next to it.
Has anybody looked into it? Is it actually having this concrete rot or whatever they claim is going on?
Concrete rot? What is that?
Well, you remember the initial call for, we need a new stadium because the Kauffman Stadium has concrete rot or whatever it was called.
Didn't Alex Gold tell us about that one time that was their argument? Or that was the argument from either the county or from the team? Or
that is their only argument for why they need a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, though, if it ended up going right there at that Sprint campus, it's nice that 435 is stone's throw to north.
Relatively close, yes.
Stone's throw to north. They would have to reconstruct roads crisscrossing through. You can't just have 119th and Nolan Row in and out. That will not work.
No, because people are going to cut over to either Row or cut over to Metcalf to get out.
Concrete cancer. That's right. Thank you.
Concrete cancer.
Which, by the way, Arrowhead built with the same concrete.
Yeah.
No cancer.
913-586-7798.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. at DSW Stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Police in Rhode Island say a woman with more than 100 prior arrests has been taken into custody in connection with a deadly crash involving a pedestrian. The Hopkinton Police Department said officers were called to Saturday's one-car crash on Spring Street at roughly 7:20 in the morning. According to investigators, 41-year-old Shannon Godbout was driving on Spring Street when she left her lane, crashed into two telephone poles, and then hit a pedestrian who was walking his dogs on the shoulder. The victim, identified as a 70-year-old man, Godbout, was arrested at the scene, transported to a hospital for a medical evaluation. Officers found narcotics and drug distribution materials in her possession during a search. Her charges include driving so as to endanger, resulting in death.
You're skipping the lead. How is one arrested 100 times? How old is she?
She's 41.
I don't want to do math here at this late stage in our show.
She's averaging roughly a little less than 5 arrests per year in her adult life.
I mean, I'm not saying there's a Guinness Book of World Records for that.
If there is, she got it.
Does she like the feeling of handcuffs? Right. Like what?
Speaking of Guinness Book of World Records, we might have to bring this back tomorrow. Have you seen the dog that broke the record for his tongue?
Is he like Gene Simmons?
Scott.
Oh, my.
We're going to try to get his owner actually on the show. A dog has broken the world record for the longest tongue, described as, quote, abnormally, awkwardly long. A dog from Oklahoma was just crowned the Guinness World Records holder for the longest tongue. 4-year-old Ozzy, a Mastiff mix, broke the Guinness World Records record for the longest tongue on a living dog this year at 7.83 inches when measured from the snout out. They didn't even measure from the back of the throat out, Scott. It's almost 8 inches long.
Easy killer.
From here to there. End of snout to tip of tongue, 8 inches.
Yeah, we got it.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Good talk.
Alrighty then.
They're now out with the top Christmas songs to work out to. Number one is, and it's tied for, there are two tied for number one. Ariana Grande's Last Christmas.
No.
And Shaken Stevens' Merry Christmas, Everyone. Andy Williams' It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year came in third.
Christmas in Kansas City. That makes me want to hit the treadmill.
to run from the speaker as fast as I can.
That song isn't even mentioned.
No.
No, I'm not kidding.
Brad Millison, National Treasure. Mm.
Yes. No, I mean, I was thinking of a Mariah Carey song. I got ahead of myself. Birthdays today. Felicity Huffman is 63. Judi Dench is 91.
The Dame.
Mm-hmm. Donny Osmond is 68. And Jacob Dylan is 56 from the Wallflowers. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, finest man in these United States, great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.